Father God, we love you. We love you. We worship you, Father. I want to ask you to pray for me right now. Pray for me. God, help me with this message, Lord. Lord, I am not some superhero, Lord. I am not invincible, but I have a tremendous trust in the living God. I'm somebody who has found a great God, somebody who has been amazed and continues to be amazed by how great my God is. And as such, Lord, I pray that you put your word in my mouth and make me a faithful witness of you, Lord. Help me to testify of the goodness of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we do the message, so we're going to start off with something that I think is so important to get back to when it comes to the Christmas season. And it has to do with being a child. The simplicity, the purity of a child, the humility of a child, and the one that I love the most, the wonder. Have you ever seen the eyes of a child when they look at something, when they open a gift, or they see the tree, or they see something that's spectacular? I pray today that we will regain a sense of wonder and faith about what God is saying in our lives and what he's doing, even right now. So let's see this little song. I know it's going to bless you. Wow. Why did Jesus think it was so important to take a little child, set him in the midst of the disciples, while they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest? Right. Follow me here. Track with me on this. Disciples are having an argument among themselves. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus gives them a little object lesson. He takes a little child, puts the child in the midst of this circle, and say, unless you are converted, unless you change and become like this little child, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. It's something that God wants us to retain in terms of humility, even as sophisticated as we become. Nothing wrong with intelligence, and I'm not talking about being childish. There's a difference between being childish and childlike. God is saying be childlike in the purity, the humility, the faith of a little child. One thing you never want to do is promise a child something and then don't do it. I'm going to bring you something home. I'm going to bring something nice home to you, you know, when I come back, you know. What do you think that kid is thinking of for 2 or 3 days while you're away? That's all they're thinking about. God forbid you walk through that door and you don't have that something nice in your hand. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. And you know what? You could be 99 years old, Sister Hermione, or who's the newest baby? Where's Shekinah's not here, but Shekinah just had a little baby, and he's just a couple of weeks old. And in God's eyes, we're all kids. Just say, I'm God's kid. I'm a child of God. I'm still a child. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. He didn't come as a grown-up. He came as a child. Unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Today I want to speak with you, and I may continue next week, on the wonder and the faith that is reinforced in the Christmas message. And I believe God is trying to speak to us as a church. In the Christmas message, he wants to reinforce and remind us of having faith and having a sense of expectation. Last week, Pastor Ron talked about the goodness of God. Amazing message on the goodness of God. God's trying to say something, that in this tough world, we can become very quickly callous and hard and insensitive and even jaded. We can become disillusioned. There's so many words I could use, where the enemy tries to steal our joy and rob from us a sense of purity, a sense of faith, a sense of wonder. There's a song that we sing all the time, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Song That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I don't believe that it's right for Christians to get over God's love for them, Just as we remember to thank God for the running water, we thank God for the electricity, we thank God for the food on our table, we need to thank God for giving us a brand new heart, a heart that is clean on the inside, a heart like a little child, hallelujah, that trusts him and can believe God for amazing things. His name shall be called Wonderful. This is what I'm feeling from the Holy Spirit this morning, all this week as I've been preparing. I feel like there's a need for us to renew our sense that God is a wonder-working God. Amen. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even imagine. Amen. I believe God wants to use the Christmas story to reinforce our faith that nothing is too hard for God. Yes. If God could come all the way from heaven and be born in Bethlehem, tell me, what is harder than that? Right. Or to put it another way, and I've been thinking about this as well. If God transcended heaven and came and left his divine prerogatives in heaven, his divine rights, laid aside his robes, his kingly robes, became born in a manger, what would possibly keep us from getting near to God? Amen. If he came all the way from heaven, if I told you, for example, that one of your friends is coming to your house, visiting all the way from California, you think you would, like, not answer the door? If I said to you that somebody's coming from Europe to visit you, or from China, you would be impressed. You mean he's coming all the way from China just to visit me? But here, God all came all the way from heaven, hallelujah, came to earth, was born in a manger. He's called God with us, God Emmanuel, meaning God among us, God with us. And some of us can't find the time to draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. He's already drawn near to us. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Wonderful. For the believer in Christ, the Christmas season can be the most wonderful time in the year. You know the Christmas song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Have you ever chuckled to yourself and said within yourself, yeah, right, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm worn out, I'm frustrated, I'm broke, I have no more money. How could it be the most wonderful time of the year? I've got to cook, I've got to clean, I've got to wrap the presents. Well, if you don't have Jesus in the middle of it, it may not be the most wonderful time of the year. But if Jesus is in the center of the season, yes, it will be the most wonderful time. We've got to guard our hearts and minds from becoming overwhelmed and anxious, and as I said before, even callous to what's going on. I mean, if you can't hear a little song like that, Happy Birthday Jesus, and not let that touch you, turn to your neighbor, have them check your pulse. I mean, I was like, every time I hear that song, it just touches me so deeply. Don't lose that. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose that. We need to have childlike faith. We need to have childlike wonder. Maybe people have let you down. But God is not like the people that, you know, sometimes represent God, and even so-called Christians don't live up to the name Christian. Are you with me this morning? But don't blame God for that. Don't blame God for people's mistakes. Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. God is gracious and kind, and he is tender-hearted and compassionate towards us. It's so easy to have our hearts hardened and have all the joy sucked out of our life. But if we decide today we're going to focus in this Christmas season once again on the wonder of God, we're going to intentionally think about the goodness of God. We're going to think about how he came all that way from heaven. We're going to think about how God did the impossible in the Christmas story. And I'm going to recite to you three different scenes in the Bible where God went out of his way to show us how much he cares about us. God went out of his way to show us that nothing is impossible. God goes out of his way in the Christmas story to tell us that God can use ordinary people like you and I. Hallelujah. God's not looking for scholars. He's not looking for the wealthiest, the rich, and the famous. He's looking for ordinary people who will fall in love with him. If you fall in love with Jesus, that makes you very special. Somebody say amen. In the first scene I want to describe to you, It's found in the book of Luke. The whole story is found there. And Luke tells the story of the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, who was the one to come and announce the arrival of Jesus Christ, the forerunner. And Zechariah the priest and his wife were people, godly people, who loved God, but they were up in years. But yet they were chosen by God. Yes. How many of you know you're never too old to see a miracle? Yes. You're never too old to be chosen by God. And Zechariah was one of the priests in Jerusalem. And it just so happened. And historians tell us that at that time in Jerusalem, there were probably about 20,000 priests. 20,000. The odds were 20,000 to 1. He just happened to be picked by lot. Look at Luke 1, verses 8. This is what I want you to get, how God could zero in the most unbelievable circumstances, the most improbable. Say the word improbable. Improbable. It's improbable for God to save the world, but he did it. Hallelujah. It's improbable for Christ to be risen from the dead, but he did. Hallelujah. It's improbable for God to forgive our sins, but he did. You see what kind of God that we have this morning? Luke 1:89. I'm getting excited up here. Somebody say, Pastor, get excited. Where's Gloria? Gloria's not here this morning. She always preaches with me. Luke 1:89. Once when Zechariah's division, he's the priest I was just talking about, was on duty, he was serving as the priest before God. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood. In other words, these duties were distributed among the priests, but there were so many priests that there were too many for them to fulfill duties every week. They had to pick certain ones because there was more people, more priests than they needed. So he was chosen to go into the temple and burn incense. He just happened to be picked out of 20,000 priests. This is a privilege that was so significant in those days that the probability was that this would only happen once in your lifetime. Once in a lifetime. Let's continue reading verses 11 to 13. And when the time for burning incense came, so Zechariah went in to the temple and offered the incense and offered his prayers. When the time of burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Only the priest was allowed to go inside the temple. Are you with me? Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear, and I think you would be too. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call his name John." This was John who was going to become John the Baptist. He wasn't born yet, and here's God coming to a couple who are infertile, who can't have children, and have probably given up on the idea of even having children. She's up in years. He's advanced in years. I mean, even biologically, they were not able to have children. How many of you know that didn't stop God from doing his work? You see, I want you to understand that the Christmas story is about God breaking through obstacles and improbabilities and the odds being against you. One with God is a majority. Somebody say amen. So I can imagine what was going on in Zechariah's mind. He sees this angel, happens to be one of the top angels. He's like a 4-star general. Gabriel, Angel Gabriel. And he's thinking to himself, what in the world is he saying? Your prayer has been heard. You're going to bear a son. I came in here to offer prayers for you. I wasn't even thinking of that. Yes, I used to pray for that when I was a young man. But I've come in here now for two reasons. I've come to offer thanks to God, incense, and the prayer of God that someday the Messiah will come. So he was focused on the plan of God and the purposes of God. He wasn't even thinking anymore about the idea of having a child. But this is what I love about the story. In one stroke, God answers two prayers. He answers the prayer that he didn't pray, But he's also preparing to bring the Messiah by sending John the Baptist, who's going to be born to an infertile couple. So he's answering two prayers at once. Zechariah is praying for Israel's Messiah, not realizing that he was going to have a part in the coming of the Messiah. You've been praying for one thing, but God's going to provide an answer that's bigger than what you've been praying for. Do you see how God works? Ron Johnson was here last week, and he talked at the very end. If you remember, he was talking, he said this story for somebody in here. He said, this is a story for somebody that one of the hurricanes was coming. He didn't know which one it was. I forgot what year it was, but you know, Florida, we have hurricanes. Somebody say, oh, yeah. And his roof on his house was already leaking and damaged. And he's thinking, okay, the storm is coming right at us. God, how are you going to help us? What's going to happen? And he's praying. They put a tarp on the roof. They tried to protect the roof as best they could. But that blew away. And he said, through the storm, about 8 or 9 shingles flew off the roof. Well, guess what? God can even take an insurance company that doesn't want to pay you. How many of you have been there? And the insurance company agreed to not only give him a brand new roof, but even cover the, he has an outbuilding that used to be a stable, and it's like a barn. And they paid to cover that too, and they also paid to do some other work. Just, what else?
The gates.
They renewed. Unbelievable. God did way more, and here he was afraid of the storm, and then God was working in the storm. See, you're focused on what's not happening, but God is always focused on eternal purposes. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even imagine. God is working in the things that we don't understand. And you know, Zechariah was apparently not a man of great faith. So you might say, Pastor Dave, I don't have a lot of natural faith. I've told you stories when, you know, we had the outreaches at UCF and we planned a 3-day outreach. We're bringing the Salvation Army to give away free food. We're bringing the kids from Southeastern University to sing, youth with a mission. I mean, this took like months and months of planning. Then all of a sudden, a tropical storm is coming. This is an outdoor event. And I've told you the story, but I want to encourage your faith. While I was at the campus back then, this was in the, early 90s, I guess. It was in the 90s. I'm on the payphone. Remember what a payphone was like? It was raining while I was on the phone. And I was calling to try to get through to somebody to call the event off. My wife said, don't give up. Just go to the campus in faith, and I'll stay home and pray. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder said, I think it was the group from Teen Challenge that set up the whole thing. They said, everything's set up already. I said, what? I said, we set everything up. In the rain? Yeah, we set it all up. Just after that, the rain stopped, the sun came out, and for 3 days I got sunburn because God showed up. Somebody say amen and give God the glory. Give God the glory. But Zechariah, to get back to my point, was not a man of great faith. He says these words, how can I be sure this will happen? Now, one thing you don't want to do is kind of like get Gabriel upset. You don't get one of the 4-star general, right, Ramon? You don't want to get a 4-star general upset. So he goes, how can I be sure this will happen? Gabriel says back to him, I am Gabriel. And I'm going to put this in. You are in big trouble right now. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent. In other words, you will not even be able to speak. Until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Amen. Do you see a lesson here? Do you see some truth? That even with our little faith, or maybe no faith, God can still work. Hallelujah. He says, my words still will come to pass. And it did, just as the angel said, John the Baptist was born. And Zechariah was able to speak again, begins to prophesy. As he prophesies, he glorifies God for how wonderful God is. And he sees this in the context of God coming to save his people. See, the Christmas story is about salvation. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Say it again with me. You will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Zechariah didn't know that God was answering one of the greatest prayers that anybody could pray for the coming of the Messiah to bring salvation to the world. Who knows what your prayers will do? Who knows what will happen if you just pray one more time? If you just believe one more time? If you just forgive one more time? If you just humble your heart one more time, if you keep on loving, if you keep on believing, what will happen? Sometimes our prayers, Brother Tony, I'm looking at Brother Tony and Lourdes, sometimes our prayers seem like they're never going to be answered. But then all of a sudden there's something called a suddenly of God. How many of you have seen a sudden breakthrough? But also God did something and you were amazed. You were amazed. God is still about doing the amazing things. The word wonderful means a feeling of amazement and admiration caused by something beautiful or remarkable. God can still do the amazing things. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. Zechariah didn't realize that God was going to answer two prayers. He prayed one prayer about the Messiah coming, offering incense to Israel. But the angel said, I have answered your prayer. And he said, what prayer? You're going to have a son. That wasn't the prayer I was praying right now. Wow. I was offering incense. I am too old to have a son. Wow. God remembers.
Yes, he does.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God remembers the tears, the brokenness. Some of you are here and you prayed in the middle of the night. Where are you, God? Where are you, God?
Yeah.
And it's okay to be honest with God.
Yeah.
But I'm here to encourage you. The Christmas story proves that your faith will be rewarded. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Christmas story proves that even a little child can believe God for great things. We're going to continue this message next week. But I want you to be encouraged that his name is called Wonderful. He is wonderful. Everybody say it. He is wonderful.
He is wonderful.
And he does wonderful things to those who believe. For those who believe. Let's stand together, shall we? What a wonderful Savior. I hope you've been encouraged today. Anybody been encouraged today? If God could take a childless couple and a man like Zechariah, who was skeptical, how can I be sure this is going to happen? And God could still use them, advanced in years. Do we have any advanced in years people? My hand is up. I know I don't look it, but I am. You're never too old to see a miracle. You're never too young to see a miracle. As my wife has often said, Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth and Mary both had miraculous births. Do you get that? One was old, the other was just a teenager. Both had miraculous births. There's a lot in the Christmas story for us to meditate on. So go back and read it and meditate on the Christmas story. It's a story of miracles and wonders, encouragement to our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. I want those of you who are touched and felt a witness about this message today and believe there's some unfinished business that you've been waiting on. Maybe you're even discouraged about a family situation, a financial situation. Maybe you've never met Mr. Right or Miss Right, you know, Mr. Perfect or Miss Perfect. You're still looking. Maybe you're a family that doesn't have children. How many of you know nothing is too hard for God? Do you see that? Am I the only one who sees that this morning? Do you see that? Give the Lord a hand if you believe that. I want you to come forward and by your action of coming forward, declare, that even though I still have some doubts, I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt. If you're willing to say, I'm going to give God the benefit of my doubt, I'm going to come in faith and stand, even though I haven't seen everything yet.
You know, I just have something I want to share with you, because I don't know if you're like me, but my hardest test of faith comes when I already preclude in myself how God is going to answer this prayer. And I get so disappointed, I get so blown out of the water, that then my faith goes way down and then I have to build it up again. But you know what? God has many ways to answer. I just want to encourage you not to just focus on one thing. You know, the man at the pool of Bethesda, he was waiting for the angel to come and trouble the water so he could be the first one in and be healed. But Jesus showed up and did something totally different. And there's something that says, don't wait for an unseen angel. Look for a healing Jesus. Look for a healing Jesus to walk in your situation. Don't preclude how he's going to answer. Just say, God, like Pastor said, Zechariah had no idea. He was just serving, that God had remembered his prayers from years ago. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, today we reach out in faith to you, God. Forgive me, Lord. I have made you too small in my eyes because I thought some human piddly way of handling a prayer request that you were going to answer that way when you had something far greater in store. So today, Lord, let us look to a healing Jesus. Let us not wait for some angel to stir the water, so thinking that's our only way to be healed. But God, we thank you that you walk into situation. You change the atmosphere. You are the God of the suddenly. And we put every impossible situation in the hands of Jesus. And we trust you, Lord, to do what no one else can do, to make a way where there is no natural way, to open the Red Sea, Lord. The Bible is full of examples, and so are our lives and testimonies of a healing Jesus, of a miraculous Jesus, of a sea-parting Jesus walking into a situation. May we look to you greater and greater and be filled with wonder in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen, amen.
To God be the glory. Give God praise. Give God praise. Listen. Listen. This is the last thing I want to say. I want to dismiss you with a benediction, but open the Bible. Read the stories of miracles. Read. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If you're discouraged, you're lacking faith, study the word. Get in the word. Memorize it. Speak it out loud. Your faith will go up. Amen? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us. To him be glory for all ages, both in the church and in Christ Jesus. And all God people said, amen. God bless you. Hug somebody.